Our thanks to DigitalOcean for sponsoring today's episode of Does Not Compute. DigitalOcean lets you spin up VMs pre-configured with popular open-source software like Discourse, GitLab, and Redis in just seconds. Of course, you always get full root access, and if you want, you can spin up totally fresh Linux distributions too. DigitalOcean has data centers located around the world, so you can get your servers closer to your users and deploy across multiple regions for redundancy. They help you easily scale with their API and floating IP addresses, and also grow with you on the business side, letting you manage your apps with team accounts. DigitalOcean droplets are always billed hourly, so you just pay for the resources you use. There are no setup fees or minimum monthly spends, so make sure to give DigitalOcean a try. Sign up today at DigitalOcean.com using the offer code DOESNOTCOMPUTE, and they'll give you a 1 gigabyte droplet free for a month.
So you've been traveling again, Paul. I know you recently got back from the Midwest, the breadbasket.
Kansas City, Missouri, my first time there. Or anywhere in the Midwest, for that matter.
Really? Anywhere in the Midwest, your first time?
Yep. I've been all over the southeast United States and the west of the United States, but never like the middle or the northeast.
So you decided to go smack into the middle of the United States.
Right there in the center.
And you were there for RailsConf, I think you said?
Yep, that's correct. It was a great time. Lots to learn. There were a bunch of very, very prominent Ruby folks there. Sandy Metz was there. Schneems was there. Aaron Patterson, aka Tenderlove, was there. They all gave great talks, as well as everybody else who gave a talk. All fantastic. It was super fun.
So how was meeting Tenderlove? That guy is one of my favorite people. I've never met him. I follow him on Twitter, and I think he's awesome.
We actually didn't get to meet in person. I just saw his talk, but I mean, there were like 1,500 people there, and he's obviously, you know, he's Aaron Patterson, so everybody was trying to talk to him.
I don't know if this is sad or what, but sometimes if I'm feeling down, I can go and on YouTube and watch an Aaron Patterson talk. Just the first few minutes where he's dropping puns for like 5 minutes straight. They're the funniest thing because he's laughing the hardest of anyone in the room. So he can barely say the pun because he's laughing so hard. I think it's hilarious. But
yeah, he seems like a great guy.
That's pretty cool. I mean, you've been, how many conferences is that now since you started in Imagix? Like three or four?
I think it's five.
That's cool.
Yeah.
You know how many I've gone to since you started at Imagix?
Six.
I've not gone to any conferences. I need to do that.
I think RailsConf in particular, you would probably really like. That seems right up your alley. I mean, there were just so many great talks, just constantly on awesome topics. And the whole environment was so focused on being friendly and inclusive of everybody, and not just in a gender or racial diversity way, but specifically in a, hey, we're all just learning to program here. We're all practicing this every day. And so we should all be lifting each other up in that way instead of saying, oh, my code is better than yours or this code is crap, you know. And I thought that was really positive. Almost every talk I went to actually mentioned something along those lines of talking about being healthy when we talk about other people's code and making sure that we're trying to improve the code and not bring the person down. And it was such a great environment in that way, I thought.
That's pretty cool. And I honestly can't remember the last time that I observed someone putting someone else down. Maybe I'm not putting myself out there enough to see that, but I think that's awesome. And when I think about it, the communities I've been involved in lately, the spec community, et cetera, has all been really great. You know, I've been posting, as many people know, I've been trying to get into Node a little bit. I've been posting some snippets and no one's been like, wow, that's trash. You should not do that. Everyone's kind of been helpful in giving suggestions, which I think is pretty cool. It's very, very, very useful for me.
And speaking of awesome people, actually, I did want to give a little shout out to Spencer Koch, who is hired. He is an awesome guy. We met on the plane on the way there. I had actually lost my phone when I was arriving at the airport, so I didn't really have a way to call an Uber or a Lyft or anything to leave the airport. And I was talking to somebody on my flight, and then from the next row up, this guy turns around. He says, RailsConf? And we ended up catching an Uber to the hotel, which was awesome. And he was super helpful. And yeah, we had a good time. So thank you, Spencer.
Yeah, that's cool. And this morning, I believe I saw him tweeting about Vue. Makes him even cooler. Not that you're not cool if you like Ember. I'm just saying.
We got him.
The Vue train is growing. That's awesome. Man, all this talk about, you know, the Rails in the Ruby community being really inclusive and really helpful towards new people. And, you know, the talk about the people that I've interacted with from the Node community have been super helpful. I think it's really great. But it kind of reminds me of an article that you and I had kind of linked back and forth on Freed Code Camp's Medium called Being a Developer After 40. And I tweeted the crap out of this thing. It was one of my favorite, probably in the top 10 Medium articles that I've ever read. And he actually talks a lot about this. He talks about, basically, it's just him giving advice. Like, he's been in the industry for a while. He's seen lots of different fads come and go. He's seen lots of different technologies come and go. And part of what he talks about is choosing your, what does he call it? Galaxy, I believe. Choosing your galaxy wisely. And I think that, I don't know, I just feel really encouraged. You know, if people are choosing the Ruby on Rails galaxy, you know, they're choosing a good thing. And hopefully, you know, people that are choosing the Node community are also choosing a good thing.
I think for me, the biggest thing here was the section on sending the elevator down. And what he means by that is, obviously, if you're further along in your software development career, you've hopefully risen to a spot where, you know some things and you have some connections, you know some people, and you're able to look out in the landscape and see where other people are at. And what you can do from there is just send the elevator back down with maybe a care package, you know, teach people, help people learn. Try to support developers who aren't as advanced as you might be. And that is kind of you end up in a rising tide situation, not to mix metaphors, but a rising tide lifts all boats, right? So when you're helping people who might be newer to development than you are, then that really ends up helping you as well. I always find that I learn so much from doing that.
Well, he actually has an entire section on teaching and how important it is for you as the teacher and how important it is for other people to have many sources, you know, to learn from. And he makes a few points, like teaching will teach you humility really quickly. So when you kind of put your foot out there and start teaching, you realize exactly how much you might not know on a subject. It kind of forces you to really up your game, which, I mean, is good, right? So if you're teaching other people, you should probably know what you're talking about inside and out. And so as you begin to write articles or as you begin to kind of put yourself out there, you will learn which areas you might need to grow in and give you the opportunity to actually focus on that and grow in that area. Whereas if you hadn't stepped out like that, you maybe might not know. And on the flip side, you know, as you begin to teach more, it'll kind of force you to respect people who are doing it really well on another level, if that makes sense. So you can see people that are putting out lots of content, like maybe Jeffrey Way, and he does it really, really well. And unless you've actually tried to make a coding screencast, it's hard to understand how difficult it actually is and how much work actually goes into it. So it makes me have an even deeper respect for people like that. The funny thing is, it makes me more appreciative of people, which is great, you know, because then you're forming human connections with other people, which is, I think, a super important part of being in the programmer community.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, when we talk about building for humans, that I think that also kind of applies to our own lives in some ways, right? Because programming is great and it pays the bills and I love it, but really, you know, making new friendships and finding awesome people through this community is so much more valuable, I think, in the long term, at least on a personal level.
Right. And on the kind of the same note, he has another section in this article called Workplaces Suck. And I thought this section was particularly enlightening. So I'm the type of person that, you know, when I work for a company, I'm all in. I want to be, I'm really investing myself in that company, right? And it's easy for me to kind of get lost in that. And so when I read through this section, he talks about, you know, don't take a job just for the money. And he basically starts talking about how a lot of software companies become sweatshops. They expect you just to work a whole bunch. They expect you to work more than you should, you know, burn yourself out essentially, right? Which is not great. So he's basically saying, beware, you know, when you join up this with this new startup or when you join this new tech company, you know, learn how to defend yourself or learn how to communicate that, I guess. Learn how to notice when someone's going to overwork you and learn how to address that with your employer.
And that's kind of a tough one too, because being able to notice that, I don't think you can really notice it unless you've already experienced it. So that's sort of a catch-22 in that way, but it is important when you're interviewing with somebody to make sure you ask about the culture in that sort of way. Ask them like what kind of hours they expect people to work. I've asked that before in interviews, and I think it's a perfectly reasonable thing to ask because that is kind of important. You know, if you're expected to work 8 hours a day or 8 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's a pretty subtle but important distinction.
Yeah, it really is. Just the how they even phrase that sentence back to you can mean many different things. So it's important to actually try and read between the lines, you know, of how that gets phrased. But I don't know, this whole section, if you haven't read it, you should give it a read because there's lots of good stuff in there. I thought perhaps one of the most interesting points in this section was how he talks about, you know, a company is a company, it's not a person. And as much as you want to, you want to take people at the word, right? So if someone higher up tells you, we're going to do this for you, we're going to do that for you, you're going to want to believe them, but that's not necessarily going to come true, as terrible as it is to say. And he makes a point here. He says, it does not matter that you are Zach Holman and that you claim in your CV that you literally wrote GitHub from scratch, you'll be fired. Or, you know, you could be fired for the pettiest of reasons, which was kind of a wake up call for me. You know, it's easy to kind of get lost in the job that you're working and the routine, you know, day in and day out. So for me, it was kind of like taking a step back and analyzing like what I'm doing right now, how it's affecting me, how I'm affecting other people and what I'm doing. This whole article to me was kind of like a perspective shift for me. Like, this guy has been around for a long time. He's seen a lot of things. And so he's taking a step back and he's sharing an overview picture of the development world at large or life as a developer at large. So it might be kind of funny to say it this way, but a few points in this article actually make me feel validated with some of the stuff we've been talking about week after week on the show. And the fourth point he mentions in this article is called Keep on Learning. And I know, Paul, you and I, we keep talking about learning and different tips for learning things quickly and stuff like that. But it's really cool to see someone that's been in industry for a long time, who presumably has tons of experience, talk about how important it is to keep moving. He says, you know, learn, anything will do. He's like, you want to learn Fortran? Go for it. You want to learn Erlang? Go for it. You think COBOL might be the next big thing? Go for it. It's just really encouraging, I guess. He's saying, you know, beware of hype. There's a whole section on hype, actually, where he's talking about, you know, just be aware of that, you know, like, a while back, SOAP was a big thing, and then came REST, you know? So REST eventually will probably die off, and there'll be something after that. But it's just really cool to see him say that don't try to get hung up on something too much. You know, if you're interested in it, go for it, pursue it, learn it. If you're not interested in it, move on, because there's going to be another trend that comes along.
There's a couple sub-points inside when he's talking about learning that I really like. He says, first, you should learn at least one new programming language per year. And that sounds maybe kind of daunting to a lot of people. This is an old concept in programming. You know, Prag talked about it originally, and it is such a big deal. This is something that it's not actually that hard. It does sound hard, but being able to produce something, whether that's, you know, a blog, or his example is he makes a calculator with every new thing he learns. And I think that's great. It'll teach you enough to be useful in a language. You'll learn some of the idioms. You'll learn just how things work, right? And I think that's such a great way to expand your knowledge of programming in general. When I originally started programming, it took me a very, very long time to learn one language. When I was just doing, you know, HTML, CSS, JavaScript, it took me quite a while to get up to speed on doing that in a way that I was comfortable and happy with. But each language since then, when I picked up PHP after that, it took much less time, actually. And then Ruby. And then, you know, maybe more advanced JavaScript or Python or any of these languages. Now it's very easy to pick them up. And that's a great skill, because programming languages in general, there are so many concepts in programming that really do carry across different languages. And every time you learn a new one, you'll probably have something that you can carry back to your favorite language. So if you are primarily a Rubyist and you go learn Python, you might not want to stick with Python for the rest of your life. But I can almost guarantee that you're going to pick some stuff up in Python that makes your life in Ruby much better.
That's very true. And also, you will learn to, for example, say if you are a Rubyist and you're learning JavaScript, you're going to learn to not take Ruby for granted. I'm sure there's many things about Ruby that you really would really, really enjoy, and there's things about JavaScript that you really dislike. So it kind of gives you a deeper appreciation for the languages that you already know and that you already really enjoy. We can probably even take it a step further. You know, if you're used to object-oriented programming, try learning a functional language. That's something that's a totally different paradigm shift from what you know. That will force you to grow so quickly.
Yeah, definitely. And what I also really like is that he's not just saying keep on learning programming. He's saying keep on learning in general as a human. Learn design, yes. learn about poetry. Read books every year that, whether they have anything to do with programming or not, just keep reading, keep learning. Learn about people. Learn about psychology. Learn about anything you can, because all of these things are going to come together to help make you a better programmer in the end, and hopefully a better person too. I think it's very important to not focus too much on just the programmer side of your learning, and you should always keep that diversified as much as possible.
Yeah, reading is such a huge part of that. I don't know, it's different. It's different for me. I like paper books. I know a lot of people like to maybe listen to audiobooks or something like that. But for me, there's just something about how information sticks in my mind when I have a paper book in front of me and I'm able to retain that information. And the funny thing is that I can point back to several books, you know, that I referenced last week in different conversations with people. You know, we're talking about, for example, we were just recently at this fundraiser run thing, and I am definitely an introverted person. And maybe last year, I think it was, I read a book called Quiet, which I'll link to in the show notes. But it's actually really interesting. It talks about the difference between introverted and extroverted people and how there's not black and white, but also how, you know, from the 50s, the media has portrayed extroverted people to be the more favorable personality type. Through advertising, et cetera. But we were all talking about it, and I was able to say, like, oh yeah, I read this in this book, you know, and this is why this is the way it is, and this is why the way I am, how I am. You know, so it allowed me to be able to communicate myself better and help others understand me as a person because someone else explained that in a book, and I was able to apply it to myself. So, I mean, even if it's like a psychology book like that or a different programming book or maybe even like a programming design patterns, you're going to have such a depth of knowledge, you know, you'll have a deeper toolbox. You can just pull these tools out and just use them in different contexts, whether it's programming or working with your designers or working with your programming managers or working with a client. It's just beneficial in all areas of your life.
So over the last couple of days, I've been thinking about this a lot, and this isn't based on an article or anything. It's just a question that I've kind of been considering myself. And I think this is something that happens a lot in programming, which is being thrown into the deep end. Whether that's you start a new job and you're working in a language that you haven't worked with much before, or you're at the same job but switching projects, or whatever that is. I think a lot of times people get thrown into the deep end. They don't know entirely what they're working on. They don't entirely know the language they're working with. And you have to learn a lot, maybe for your job, but you have to learn it very quickly because you're actively in a project. You have deadlines set. You have goals you need to meet. And I think that's such a very tough spot to be in for a lot of people.
I have a depth of knowledge on the subject, Paul. I've learned several of the things that I do every day, you know, Rails and JavaScript apps and stuff. I have learned first through doing them for a client.
Yeah, this has been my experience at every job I've ever accepted, where I accepted the job and I started, sat down the first day and was like, oh man, I don't really know what I'm doing. Whether that's, okay, here, you're going to be writing Rails apps. Well, I don't know Ruby, so I guess I need to learn that. Or, hey, you're going to be doing JavaScript development without any libraries. It's going to be pure vanilla JS. And that was also a new experience for me at one point. Or, hey, time to write some Python. So this is something that has happened to me a lot. It's happened to you a lot. I think this is something that happens to most developers, at least sometimes. And for me, the most important thing is just don't give up right off the bat, because it's so easy to say, okay, this is clearly not for me. This is something I don't have experience with. I can't do this. There's no way I can ship this new site in 3 weeks when I don't even know the language. Don't give up. First thing, just make sure that you look at this and say, okay, this is going to be a challenge. It's going to be really hard, but I can get through this, because you can. You can. If Sean and I can, anybody can.
Along with don't give up, I think a really important piece to remember right off the bat is to not panic. So it's kind of like, you use the metaphor being thrown in the deep end. So if you're just getting tossed into some water, I guess I compare it to this. So if you're surfing and you just get blasted by a wave, it's going to push you underwater, right? So you're getting kind of thrown into the deep end of the water there. And the worst thing you can do is just start thrashing about and trying to correct yourself, because you're just not going to be able to. The water is much stronger than you are. So what I learned very quickly was, instead of doing that, was to just relax. And instead of getting myself confused as to which way is up, which way is down, I just relax and wait and ride it out. And when things kind of slow down a little bit, I'm able to just to swim back up and hit the surface, right? It's really similar to just like being thrown into, hey, you're building a Rails app. Don't panic. Take a step back and try to evaluate some things. Try to pull from any experience you might have in other areas, right? So maybe if you've built a mini app in PHP or Python, some of those concepts are going to apply to the Rails app. So it makes sense to take a step back, analyze what you might know, analyze how you can apply that to the project, and then go from there.
Yeah, and I think it's so important to actually approach things with a real desire to learn. And what I mean by that is, let's say, for example, you're a Python developer by trade. You do Django sites and you're really happy doing that. But you accept a job, whether that's full-time or freelance or whatever, you accept a job where you're actually going to be doing Laravel work in PHP. Now, you might not really care about that. You might think, okay, PHP is silly. This is not useful or interesting to me. So whatever, I'll just kind of do an okay job just to get it out of the way. But I think that's actually one of the worst things you can do. Because this comes back to learning in general, like we were just talking about, learning new programming languages, learning new approaches. You're always going to pick something up for your native language when you try something new. So go into that, go into the Laravel docs, be like, yes, I get to learn new technology. This is so exciting. I feel great about this. And first of all, you're just going to have a better experience because you're going to be happy about it. And secondly, you're going to learn way more. It's going to be easier for you to pick stuff up because you are actually passionate about it. You are actually excited. And it's just going to be a much, much better experience. So make sure that you're really looking at any new challenge as just a giant opportunity to learn something new and cool and fun. That's absolutely the healthiest way to look at these things, in my opinion.
Well, I think it's pretty hard to do a good job at anything if you're approaching it with a cynical mindset, right? So if you are tasked with building a Laravel application and you just hate PHP, it's going to be hard to do a good job, because the whole time you're going to be thinking how much you hate PHP and not how can I do this well, or what can I leverage? What is PHP actually good at, right? So it's much more beneficial to you to focus on things that are positive. It's going to keep your mindset better. You're going to be more excited about the work that you're doing, which will hopefully lead to a better product. I mean, the end goal of our job isn't to be playing around with technology every day, right? It's to be building software for people. You know, they're coming to you with money. They have an idea or a dream and they say, here's the money that I worked really hard to obtain. I'm giving you some of it so that way you can help me with my dream. So I would argue that more importantly than you having fun with the tech stack you're working on is you partnering with this person, giving you their money. I mean, money is directly related to time, right? So they're essentially, here's a portion of my life, right? You can use this to build something for me that would hopefully help me out with the rest of my life. There's so many reasons why you shouldn't be snarky towards a certain stack or having to use a certain stack, I suppose.
Right. When you approach a new library or framework, kind of one of the first things you should probably be doing is really reading their docs. You need to focus on that. It's going to save you time. It's going to make the code you write more idiomatic. So if you jump into Rails off the bat, you're new to Rails, and I did this myself a lot when I was starting, I would write validations from scratch instead of using built-in stuff like, you know, presence validators, even simple things like that, because I just didn't take the time to go through the basic guides. And so many, at least when you're dealing with larger, more popular frameworks, almost all of them have great guides that do explain these base level concepts to you. And even if you're very familiar with how, if you're using something an MVC library, even if you're very familiar with how MVC works, it's still really good to go back and take a look at those basics. Really bring it back down to the beginner level. Toss away your ego. Just hop into those guides and read through them, because that it's just going to be so much easier for you over the course of a project. And while you're reading those docs, remember to take notes. Don't just read them. If you see something interesting, even semi-interesting, copy-paste it into a notes file. Whatever you use for that, whether you use MVAlt or something else, just use something to capture all these thoughts, because then you'll have actually a very condensed resource of stuff that you know you're going to need later, and you can reference that super quickly and easily offline or anything. It's going to save you so much time. Take notes of everything. if you're discussing with other people, if you're fortunate enough to be in a situation where there are other people on the project who understand the tech better than you do, talk to them and take notes of everything they say. If they say, oh, here's how you deploy, you run these three commands, don't just run them and then forget them. Write them down first. What I'll actually do a lot of times in those situations is, as someone explains a process to me, they're like, okay, you run this command, and then command three. I'll write that down and I'll say, okay, so if I'm understanding this correctly, I have to do things A, B, and C using methods Y and Z. Does that sound correct? Writing things down and then verifying the things that you wrote down with the person is going to save a lot of headache. A lot of headache.
Yeah, just making sure that you understand the code that you're typing or pasting is huge. It's going to save you tons of time at the end of the project. So I've been in situations before where I would Google something and find a solution in Stack Overflow and I would paste it in there, but I wouldn't necessarily know what's happening or why this solution even works in the first place, right? And then a few weeks go by and the deadline's getting closer and something goes wrong. Well, if I don't know what, you know, how this thing works, how am I supposed to fix it? There's really no way for me to fix it apart from blindly Googling and getting lucky, basically, right? So as, like Paul, like you said, as you're pasting and writing things down, make sure you actually understand what's happening. Take extra time to make sure you understand what's happening. Take extra time to ask questions of people that might know the answer. Because even though you're using up more time right now, it will actually save you twice as much time down the road.
Yeah, it's so important to clarify things with people. Whether that's a boss or a coworker, whether you're talking about personnel issues or programming issues, it's always important to clarify things. Like, humans are very bad at communication. We really are, as much as we talk about it. But if you clarify things, if you do write down what someone says and then read it back to them, you will be amazed how often the person says, actually, wait, no, that middle part needs to be tweaked or something like that. And this happens all the time. It's a constant. People are very bad at talking. People are very bad at communicating. People are bad at remembering. So make sure, I know I keep hammering on this, but make sure you take those notes and make sure you verify those notes with people who have the answers. That will save you so much headache.
Well, I'm very guilty of that. I misspeak often. Actually, a couple of episodes, someone said that I had said happy JS was configuration over convention, and when in fact it's exactly the opposite, right? But in my mind, I'm thinking that I'm saying it's, I'm going to do it again right now. I'm going to screw it up. But you know, I'm definitely guilty of that. It's really easy to misspeak, especially when you're talking about things that are very technical. So that is a huge piece of advice that I should follow more often, in that I should clarify things, you know, not just assume that everyone gets everything right the first time or every Stack Overflow is exactly right the first time. It just seems so overwhelming, but if you can kind of step back and do these things separately, you'll find that it makes getting thrown into the deep end a much more manageable process. If you can remember, just take a step back sometimes. It's so easy to get caught up and flustered or stuck on something, right? You know, it's really important to take breaks and step away from something for a few minutes that you're stuck. But if you can kind of, maybe every day as you're working on this project, before you start in on it, take a half an hour and really kind of take stock of where you're at, what needs to be done, what you're doing now, what might need to be fixed. You know, just make sure that the progress of the project is tracking fine, because it's really easy to kind of get stuck on that one feature you're trying to get right and you just can't get it right. And before you know it, you've wasted, you know, multiple days on this thing when maybe there was something more important that needed to get done. So I know I keep saying it over and over again. I just can't stress it enough. Remember to take a step back. It's something that I struggle with. I think it's something that a lot of people struggle with. But it's very, very important to take a step back and gain perspective and take stock of how things really are.
And the best thing about being thrown in the deep end on pretty much any work-related project is that you will get through it. If you just buckle in, take your notes, really try to learn and focus on it. In a month or two, it'll be old hat. You'll know how these processes work. You'll be the one teaching people. You'll be the one that people are asking questions of, because you actually did just power through it. So it's not something that lasts forever. Being thrown in the deep end can be very intimidating, but once you get through it, you'll have more knowledge than you would have ever imagined you would gain in that amount of time.
That's true. just ask Oliver Pattinson, because he seems to know everything and retain everything he ever reads.
He does. That guy is great. Thanks again to today's sponsor, DigitalOcean. DigitalOcean is an awesome VM host that easily scales for anything from personal sites to large production application servers. In fact, Sean and I both use DigitalOcean for a lot of our personal projects. You can spin up a droplet pre-configured with lots of the most common open source tools like WordPress, Ruby on Rails, and Docu in just seconds. Or go with a totally clean slate Linux distribution instead. Check out DigitalOcean.com today and sign up with the offer code DOESNOTCOMPUTE to get a 1 GB droplet free for a month. I heard this really awesome tweet the other day. I can't remember who it was, but he was like, yeah, I'm a 10X software engineer, where X is my original estimate. So good. Anyway.